I realized that as I was going to give a series of messages, I didn't want it to be the traditional kind of divine healing series where everybody gets all revved up and we have this explosion and then everybody comes charging forward and we lay hands on them and so forth. But I really wanted to lay out the biblical basis for healing and prove it from the scriptures, and then even have part of the message be on biblical nutrition, which is what last week's was about, where we had Dr. Gordon Tesler on the subject of biblical nutrition, which was, I think, for those who were here, it was a great blessing. And so I would strongly recommend that you haven't been here, if you haven't been here for the whole series, is that you get the three tapes, because if you miss one of them, you're going to miss, they're consecutive, and you'll miss really the flow of what I'm going to be talking about today, because the last 2 weeks are the basis of what I'm really going to be sharing about today. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. We've read this actually the last couple of weeks. And I just want to say this again as we turn to Exodus 15, is that the root of sickness is sin. I want you to say that with me. Say, the root of sickness is sin. You see, there was no sickness in the Garden of Eden. And why was there no sickness in the garden? It's because there was no sin. Before there was sin, there was no sickness. When sin was introduced into the world, sickness followed with it, and then also death. And so what we have to understand is that the root of all sickness comes from sin. Now, it's not necessarily from an individual sin, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. It could be generational sin. It could be the sin of a community. It can be all kinds of things have an impact on one's health and so forth. But we need to understand that the root of sickness is sin. Now turn with me to Exodus 15, verse 25, and let's look at God's promises to the nation of Israel. Exodus 15, verse 25. It says this, in the second part of verse 25. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to all his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on any of you the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals. Ani Adonai Rofecha. I am the Lord who heals, in Hebrew. Now, if you remember what we shared 2 weeks ago, when the Lord inaugurator introduced the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel was to be the model nation. It was to be the nation in which the very presence of God would be revealed to the rest of the nations of the world. All the rest of the nations were to be able to look at the nation of Israel and say, that's the way I want to be. That's exactly, that's the kind of life that I want to live. And so in that nation, they were to see justice. They were to see family solidarity. They were to see a love in community, but they were also to see health. They were to see total health in this community. And the promises of God here in Exodus 15 is that if the children of Israel keep the commandments, then all of the diseases that were on the Egyptians will not fall on the Israelites. That was God's promise. But notice that the promises of God with regard to healing, as well as anything else for that matter, is conditional. I want you to say this with me. The promises of God are conditional. Say that. The promises of God are conditional. The scripture in the Hebrew, it says, im, which is if, asher, which is then. If you do this, then I will do this. You see? If you obey my commandments, then I will remove sickness from you. So in other words, we can't come into a community of believers or a congregation, do whatever we want to do, pollute our bodies with all kinds of garbage, and then come running to the altar at the end of the service and say, oh, Lord, heal me no matter what I live like. That's an abomination to the Lord. The scripture says, if you obey my commandments, then this is what will happen. And so it's contingent upon obedience to the Lord. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. Verse 24. Exodus 23, verse 24, says this. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. Notice again, if you worship the Lord and you put away all these other idols, then he will remove sickness from among you. It's the very presence of the Lord removes sickness. I want you to hear this statement. Healing and health are related to the presence of God in a community and obedience to his commandments. Okay? Healing and health are related to the presence of God in a community and obedience to his commandments. So in other words, our healing and our health are related to the presence of the Lord within a community and our obedience to his commandments. If he's present and we obey his commandments, then we can expect that sickness will be removed from the Lord, from the community. Now, if you remember last week, as Dr. Tesler spoke to us last week about eating according to the biblical pattern, about eating biblically, about not putting in garbage. And it was an excellent talk, both from the Bible and from science. I thought it was fascinating. But we have to understand that there's much discussion in the Torah with respect to what is considered edible. It's related to health. Okay? If we eat the wrong things, then there are going to be direct effects and indirect effects. In other words, sometimes when you eat the wrong things, it will create a specific malady in your body, okay? But also, if you eat the wrong things, the malady in your body might not be directly related to that which you're eating, but because you're in disobedience to the commandment of God, you may have a curse fall upon you because you're not eating in accordance with God's biblical pattern. I mean, that shouldn't be a shock to anyone, right? If we do something that's disobeying the Lord, then we can't expect to receive the blessings of God. That was what the talk was about last week. Now, God's plan was there for there to be in Israel a model nation which was to be free of sickness. The problem is as we know, that model nation, Israel, disobeyed the commandments of the Lord, as we read in the scriptures. We read through the Old Covenant. And so, consequently, when Yeshua comes to Israel in the first century, guess what he finds in the nation? Sickness, right? I mean, why, here's God's promise to the nation of Israel that they would be free of sickness. So you would think that by the time the Messiah comes, the nation would be free of sickness. But no, it wasn't at all. Rather, the nation was full of sickness. It's because the nation had not been obedient to the Lord in a whole variety of ways, and sickness was in the land. So what were two of Yeshua's primary ministries when he was on earth? Deliverance from demons and healing the sick. He went around and did both all of the time because there was so much sin and oppression in the land of Israel that Yeshua decided that Yeshua delivered and healed. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Now we have to understand, and those of you that have been in a Messianic congregation, I think you understand this. But Yeshua, when he came, part of his mission was to bring Israel's mission to fulfillment. In other words, Israel was to be the model nation, and so Yeshua came to make Israel the model nation. So that's part of the reason that he freed the nation of sickness and demons. It was his intention through him to make Israel the nation that was free of sickness and disease and demons so that the rest of the nations could look upon them and come to know the reality of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, this is the mission of Yeshua as revealed in the scriptures. Luke 4, verse 14. It says, Yeshua returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What did Yeshua do? He came to proclaim the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, as described in the scriptures, is a kingdom that is full of health and freedom, liberty for the captives, deliverance from oppression, and sight to the blind. And so when the kingdom was introduced by Yeshua, it was to be introduced with the power of God that was to free the captives of sickness and demonic oppression and possession. That was Yeshua's ministry. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Now we know that the kingdom of God is established in the person of Yeshua the Messiah. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Matthew 8, verse 14. It says this. When Yeshua came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Repeat that with me. Say, he healed all the sick. Say it again. He healed all the sick. Okay? This was to fulfill that which was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Now, as we shared 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to go into depth in this because this took a long time, but as we shared 2 weeks ago in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53 is the classical prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, the suffering Messiah. But the scripture says in the Hebrew that he bore our sicknesses and carried away our diseases. And so in the book of Matthew, Matthew quotes that passage from Isaiah 53 in reference to Yeshua's healing ministry. In other words, the point is that in the atonement of Yeshua, in Yeshua's death, in resurrection, we can find healing in the fact of his death and resurrection. That's called healing in the atonement. I spoke it out logically 2 weeks ago. If you didn't hear the message, you might want to hear it. So in other words, part of the atonement involves healing. Now, as I discussed 2 weeks ago, though, we look around us, and I believe God's plan is that everyone who receives Yeshua the Messiah should be healed. We shouldn't have sickness. But you can look in right here in our congregation. There's people in wheelchairs right here. These people are believers. Okay? So in other words, there's something's wrong. There's something's happened. Either the scripture is inaccurate or there is something wrong. Okay? And so I spoke 2 weeks ago about the reasons that sickness exists in the believing community. And there are a number of reasons. Okay? And just running through them again. It can be just direct sin of the person. It can be pride. Because the scripture showed in the book of Proverbs that pride can bring sickness. It could be worry and anxiety, which can bring sickness. And even medically, that is known to bring sickness. So that's nothing new to anybody. It can be generational sins, sins carried down from a generation. It could be the sins within a community. It can be the whole culture that we're immersed in because of the fallenness of the world, that we are contaminated by the very fallenness of the world, and it brings sickness into the community. There are numerous reasons. There's not just one reason. Because often you'll hear, well, it's just a lack of faith in the person that causes their sickness or their lack of healing. That's a bunch of baloney. Okay? Now, it could be, but that's just one of many factors, okay, that can hold back health and healing in a community. And we can't be so, you know, snide and guilt-ridden and guilt-plagued that we say, oh, you know, you just didn't have enough faith, or this person didn't have enough faith. That's not the issue, folks. That is not the issue. It could be a lot of reasons. But despite all of the reasons why there may be sickness or affliction in a community of believers, the scripture makes it abundantly clear it is God's will to heal his people. It is God's will to heal his people. The scripture says that it's God's will that all men be saved. But we also know that not all men are going to be saved, right? But it's God's will that they be saved. It's also God's will that all of his people be healed. And so that we have to accept that. So the question is, if it's God's will that we be healed, then how do we receive our healing. That's what we're going to cover now. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 18. How do we receive our healing? Matthew 9, 18. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Yeshua got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Yeshua turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that very moment. Turn with me to verse 27, same chapter, verse 27 of chapter 9, Matthew. And Yeshua went on from there. Two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And their sight was restored. Turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. Says this. Leaving that place, Yeshua withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman came from that vicinity, crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Yeshua did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Yeshua answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Turn with me to Matthew 17, verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. It says this. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Yeshua and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the water and into the fire. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Yeshua replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Yeshua rebuked the demon and came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Yeshua in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Each case that I've read here is each case of healing is related to faith. Okay? Each case, even in one case, the woman was said, "Your faith has healed you." Each case is related to faith. You're saying there, "I saw it coming. You're one of those name it and claim it types. I know it. I knew it when I came in here. That's what it is." No, I'm not a name it and claim it type. But I do believe in the Word of God. Okay? I do believe we can't ignore what the Word of God says. My question to you is, what is more real? What you see with your physical eyes or the Word of God? Okay? What is really more real? We can't see God, right? Except maybe occasionally somebody will see some vision, but He's still real. You know, we can't see love either, but love is real. Amen? You see, we live in a highly materialistic scientific society. Everything's got to be proved or else I won't believe it. You show it to me, you prove it to me, and then I'll believe it. It's materialistic and it's a scientific-based society. There's nothing wrong with science, and God does want to bless us with possessions. That's fine. But we've got things out of sync in our society. A society is supposed to be God-based, Him-centered, where we give our whole hearts to Him. We recognize that we are His creation, and we serve Him as Master. And then science and everything else flows from a total dependence upon the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. What's more necessary to you and me? A TV set that you can watch and see people love one another on a show, or being loved and loving another person? You see, in one case, it's materialism. But that doesn't fill anybody's heart. What fills a person's heart is love, right? being loved or loving another person. That's what fills a heart. But you can't see it. But it's still more real, more fundamental, more intrinsic to the human soul than anything that you or I can see or feel or touch or whatever. Now, if we claim to be believers, then we must follow the Word of God. Now, thank you. And the Word of God says that we must have faith. The reception of healing is directly related to faith. So the question is, what is faith? What is faith? If faith is so important, what is faith? Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's look at what faith is. The Bible defines all of its terms really clearly. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, faith is defined as something that it's sure of what we hope for and certain of something that we do not see. You say, that's kind of heavy. I mean, how can we be sure of something that we don't even see? Well, guess what, folks? That's what faith is. Faith is having some certainty about something that you don't see. That's what faith is. You know what faith is? I've made up this little sentence here. So hear it out. I'm going to say it twice. This is what faith is. It is an eruption into the heart and mind of this is God. Okay, I'm going to say it again. It is an eruption into the heart and mind of this is God. In other words, God says it, we receive it into our heart, and there's an eruption in our heart of faith. We suddenly believe it. Something has happened, we believe it because God said it. Something happened to us. That is what faith is all about. You say, but I don't have this. But guess what? You need it. Do you know what? You need that kind of faith to get saved. You really do. Turn with me to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's see. Faith talks about a little more here. It says in verse 6, chapter 11, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think most of us in here want to please God, right? But it says that it's impossible to please Him without faith. You say, oh man, you're one of those guys that just heaps guilt and condemnation for not having enough faith. Hey, I'm not doing anything. I'm just reading what the Bible says. Okay, you can take it up with God. The point is that we can't please God without faith. And then it goes on to define it a little more. It says, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I mean, what's so horrible about that? God is simply saying, I just want you to believe that I exist and that I want to bless you. That's what faith is all about. I just want you to believe me and I want to bless you. That's faith. That's the kind of faith that God's talking about. Another way of looking at it is saying that faith is believing that God can and that God will. That God can do something and that He will do something. That's what faith is all about. And the same is true for healing. For you and me, if we're sick, we need to believe that God can heal us and will heal us. That's what faith is. So you say, but how do I get this faith? The Bible has another answer. It tells us exactly where faith comes from. Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10. I mean, it's not this big mystery. You know, it's like, oh man, I've got to get into my prayer closet. I got to beat myself. I've got to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Good luck. And some people can, amen. But some people do, and that's an honor. And I've got to do everything that I can to generate faith. But that's not what the Bible says faith comes from. It's amazing how simple the scriptures are. Romans 10, verse 17. This is what it says. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. In the Hebrew, excuse me, in the Greek, it's the word rhema. From hearing the rhema, and the rhema is heard through the word of the Messiah. In other words, faith comes from the word of God. Faith, the rhema, the word rhema in Greek means an oracle uttered by the voice of God. That's what rhema means. So in other words, faith comes from hearing God's word or reading God's word. When God speaks, faith erupts. That's just what happens. Faith arises when God speaks into our lives. When we read the word of God, faith arises. Hearing the words of God produces faith. So if you want to have faith, what do you have to do? Read and study the word of God. Seek the Lord for his word. And then what happens is faith arises. Let me give you a couple of examples to make it really clear. Let's say you're a non-believer. We were all non-believers at one time. Amen. No one was born saved. I hope we understand that. Okay. Everybody, to be saved, you have to be born again. Right? You're not born saved. You're born again to be saved. All right. So in other words, we were all non-believers at one time. So how did you get saved? I mean, one day you said, walking along, oh, I'm just going to get saved today. That's not the way people get saved. What happens? You heard a word about the Lord, right? Somebody preached a message. You read the scriptures. You studied the scriptures on your own, whatever it might be. But you heard something, and suddenly what happened was you began to believe. Faith arose. It was like an eruption in your heart. Yes. Yes, I want that. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I want my life to change. And so what happened is you gave your heart to the Lord and something happened into you. Faith arose and you got saved. It's not that mysterious, right? You read the word of God. The same thing is true about healing. It works the exact same way. If you are sick and afflicted and you want to be healed, you search the scriptures, you hear messages about healing, and let faith arise. That doesn't mean you beat your head against the wall and say, I'm going to, and so on. You just get the word of God in you. Now, I want to give you another example. This is about me. I've shared this before, so it's not that new for those who've been here around. But a number of years ago, shortly after Stacy and I were married, we were studying about men and women of great faith and the healing ministries of this past century and so forth. And my father came down with a herniated disc, I think. It was a ruptured disc, that's what it was. And he had to go to the hospital, have it repaired. And so we went into the hospital to visit him, and the doctor pulled me aside and said, I just want to warn you that this is hereditary, so you better be careful. The next morning I woke up, had the shooting pains down my back and into my legs. I mean, I could barely walk. It was extremely painful. And it went on like this for like 3 straight days. I couldn't sleep. It was basically the same thing. It was like the doctor, I mean, he was a good man and everything, but it was like, I received a curse or something, you know? And so what was happening is that I was, when I'm not feeling well, I complain, I have to admit, you know? And that's part of the reason I think that I don't get sick real often is I really complain and so maybe God just doesn't want to hear my complaints. I don't know what it was, but certainly my wife doesn't want to hear my complaining. And so I was talking about, oh man, I'm so painful. I can't get any rest and everything. And I remember Stacy saying classic line. She said, either go to a doctor or get healed, but stop complaining. And so, so I thought, all right, you know. So I remember this. I thought, okay, you know, we've been studying these men and women of faith. And I remember I went out to the porch, our deck on the back of our house, and sat down as comfortably as I could get, you know, because it was really painful. Just opened up the scriptures, the word, and began to study the scriptures about healing and faith and things like that. And I kept going on about a half an hour. I got up after that period of time and noticed that my back was a little bit looser, still a little bit of pain, but a little bit looser and so on. Within a couple hours, pain was totally gone, never come back since. That was like, 15 years ago or whatever it was. You see, what happened was that I was afflicted with something. I don't know what it was, you know, whether it was a curse or something else. But the point was that the Word of God, I studied the Word, it erupted in my heart. Faith was produced, and I got up and was healed. That was the end of it, you know. And so that's how it works, folks. Now, back to the scriptures and the examples of Yeshua. What caused the people to be healed when they were around Yeshua? They either heard his message and faith was produced, or they saw him, and who is Yeshua? the Word of God made flesh, right? He's the Word made flesh. And so they saw the Word, or they heard the Word, faith arose into their heart, boom, and they were healed at that moment. That's the way it works. Faith cannot be self-generated. It is a simple response to the Word of God. That's what faith is. The Scripture makes it clear. It is God's will for you to be healed. And I don't care who you are, it is God's will for you to be healed. There is healing in the kingdom of God. There is healing in the atonement of Yeshua. The Scripture says, and this is the confidence that we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have those petitions that we have asked from Him. This Yeshua also says, if you abide in Me, and what? My words abide in you, then you shall ask for whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's what the Scripture says. But notice what the condition is. If you ask according to His will, if, which we know healing is, if we have His words in our heart, then we can ask for whatever it is, and it will be done for you. It doesn't mean that we can ask for whatever we want, you know, Rolls Royces, everything else. Oh, God's going to give me that. No, it has to be according to His will, and His words have to be built into our heart, and we have to be abiding in Him. And then, when that happens, faith arises, and we receive that which we need from the Lord. James chapter 5, as I'm getting ready to close, and we're going to see God do something today. Amen, and you and me. James chapter 5. We say, okay, well. This is all nice. But that was Yeshua. He was the Son of God. And, you know, healing was for the first century. And so it's over now. That's the way it's going to be. Okay, well, let's look beyond Yeshua. We're going to look in James chapter 5. Let's see what it says here. Let's see if there's something here. It says something. James 5 verse 13. James 5 13. Is any one of you in trouble? You should pray. Good advice. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Amen. Is any one of you sick? Mm-hmm. He should call the elders of the congregation to pray over him and anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well in the first century. Whoop, no, I don't see that. What does it say? The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. There's no first century. There's no condition. There's no end point. That's just what the Word says. Okay? And then it goes on. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Remember, we were talking about doing things according to God's way. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You see, it works the same today as it worked in the first century. It's so interesting. Let me tell you about a little story in the Talmud. Talmud, the primary Jewish writing for Rabbinic Judaism. Talmud was actually codified in the year 500 AD, but of course it deals with happenings that occur really from the year 0 to 500. But there's a few references in the Talmud about Yeshua. They're usually negative, okay? In this one particular place, it's really fascinating, it says that whatever you do, don't go near those people that pray for you in the name of Yeshua and where healing is present. I'm paraphrasing it. In other words, here it is past the first century, the Talmud is talking about people being healed in the name of Yeshua, but you got to stay away from that person. So that's testimony to the fact that even the non-believing Jewish community of that era was realizing that in the name of Yeshua, it brought healing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an interesting story? There are so many stories about healing that we can just go on and on. Yes, there are reasons and hindrances to healing. If God is trying to get your attention, if you've been in here these last 3 weeks and the Lord's spoken to you and you know you're not eating right and you know you're not living right and you're doing things, putting things into your body that are not healthy for you, then don't just come up here and expect to be healed, you know, instantaneously like that. You've got to meet the conditions. If you're not living according to God's word, then I don't even want you to come up here. Now, if you're willing to repent, you can repent at the moment. You can repent instantaneously. If you say, Lord, I've been doing this wrong and this wrong, and I'm going to repent, then you're free to come forward to receive your healing from God. It's between you and the Lord, and so forth. But if there's nothing known that you know you're doing wrong, or if you're repentant today, and if you are sick or afflicted or handicapped or whatever it might be, then I want you to be prepared to receive your healing. Now I'm going to read one more scripture, and then I'm going to tell you exactly the way we're going to do it. It's going to be real clear for everyone, and we're going to pray according to the way I explain it, which is simply the way James 5, we just read it. But turn with me one more scripture, Luke 18. Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 1. It says this. Luke 18, verse 1. It says, "Then Yeshua told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, 'In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" I want to tell you, never stop coming to get healed. You may walk away here today, and you may not be instantaneously healed, but I want you to come back week after week. I don't want you to ever feel that you're ever tiring any of us out or God out. You just keep going. You keep coming, because you don't know what it's going to take. Some point where faith is going to erupt into your heart, and boom, you will be healed. That's the way it will work. Don't ever give up. Don't ever feel bad. Don't ever feel like, you know, oh, I'm not good enough. That's not true. None of us are good enough for anything. So that doesn't make any difference. Okay, all of us are sinners that are saved by the grace of God through faith in Yeshua the Messiah. We all come to the cross the same way, sinners. And God changes us and makes us into new creation. And he wants to heal the afflicted and the sick and so on. That's God's plan for you and me. Now what we're going to do is I want the elders of the congregation to come up, John, Fred, and their spouses where they're here, and Stacy and Matt. I want him to go up before the to begin to play. Now we're not going to close the service, okay, officially today. What we're going to do, and I'm going to explain it in just a second, who's going to come in what order. But you can stay as long as you want. If you're not sick, you can go downstairs, you know, for Oneg or whatever is going on. You can go into the bookstore and so forth. But we're going to just keep praying for people until there's no one left to pray for. Okay? And so that part will be worship time. You're welcome to worship before the Lord and stay here. Now, this is the order that I want people to come in. The first group of people that I want to come before the elders are those that are in wheelchairs. They go first. Okay? After the wheelchair people are prayed for, then those who are afflicted with life-threatening illnesses, such as cancer or MS or anything of that nature that's life-threatening. Then, thirdly, the next group after that, I want the children who've been afflicted in the congregation, whether in their womb or not. There's still a child, whether in their womb or not. I hope that's nothing new to anybody here. But I want them to come forward, and we're going to pray for them. And then after that, then it's anybody. Okay, who is sick, you know, and it doesn't have to be physical affliction, it can be mental or emotional or whatever. You know, God is a God of healing. He wants to heal you in mind, soul, and body, and of course, spirit. And so that's the order. So it's going to be the handicapped first, and then the those with life-threatening illnesses, and then the children, and then anyone. Those are the order that we're going to go in. And we're just going to worship the Lord. We have oil for each of the elders here, because we're going to do it just like the scripture says in James chapter 5. The elders are going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to anoint them with oil in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, and we will believe God for their healing. Amen? Amen. We're going to spread out so that there'll be three groups of the three elders. And so let's just pray. I want us to pray first, and then we're just going to be doing the worship of the Lord, and then you just come in that order that I said. Father, We come before you today in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Lord God, we thank you for Yeshua. Lord, we thank you that he died for us, Lord. Father, that he suffered for us. Lord, that he rose again from the dead. Lord, so that all of our sins, first of all, would go on the cross and be broken. And Lord, also our sicknesses would go as well, Lord, so that we might receive healing, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word that makes it abundantly clear, your will for our lives, Lord. We believe it is your will that we receive healing in our bodies, Lord. And Father, we receive what you are going to do for us now in Yeshua's name. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, if there's anything that's hindering any one of us from coming into your presence, Lord, sins of any sort, Lord, Father, we just confess those now, Lord. We want to be clear before you, Father. We repent of unbelief. We repent, Lord, of hardness of heart. Lord, we repent, Lord God, for any of the things that we've done, misspoken, spoken wrongly to somebody else, criticized somebody, accused somebody wrongly. Lord, we just repent of all of these things, Lord. We want to be clear in your sight, Lord God, so that we be open channels and vessels for your power today, Lord. We give our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole mind to you this day. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.